No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
From director Clint Eastwood, critics are calling it a triumph. 5 stars.
Brace for impact.
What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. In cinemas December 2nd. Certificate 12A.
To season 2, episode 1 of the Tottenham Way podcast. Tom, I'm your host as usual. We start this season very much as we ended last season with Jim at Stylish Riot.
Hello.
And Ollie Lister. Ollie, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Jim, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, mate. Sorry, I was just looking at my phone.
That's fine. Good start to season 2. And as ever, we have got the Tottenham ESPN correspondent, Dan Kilpatrick. I thought I'd start off professional.
Thanks, mate.
How are you doing? You're a bit...
I'm not well.
What's wrong?
I'm alright. I got back from Australia on Monday morning. I've been in bed pretty much ever since with a fever. Oh. But I've made it here today.
You have.
That's the main thing.
We're all appreciative of your efforts, as are the 12 listeners. Actually, I'm going to apologise for the end of last season. The final podcast was just a war crime of sound. Sound kept dipping, and I realised at points it was pretty unlistenable, so apologies for that. Hopefully it won't happen again this season.
It was a good pod though, wasn't it?
It was a good pod. Are we all recovered from last season? Like, not that podcast, because we got battered, but has everyone recovered from...
Well, I thought you were just apologising for the Newcastle result, then. I thought that was you taking the blame.
Yeah, I've done my bit. I'm waiting for the players to do the same, but it's crap, but I'm almost able to laugh about it now. It's a different season. It's just another season of something else ridiculous happening to Spurs, isn't it?
Blank slate. I wasn't as upset as everyone seemed to be, but I'm kind of just excited about the new season starting now. It's here.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's Christmas. It is Christmas. We should probably start with the news that happened Tuesday night, I think. It was broken by the Daily Mail, wasn't it? That kind of really out of the blue, even to people that are seemingly quite in the know as well, but Paul Mitchell is it confirmed that he's going?
Yes.
Yeah, or as good as, or it is actually confirmed. And Rob McKenzie, so they are pretty much made the head of our scouting team, didn't they? And one, is it true that...
It's not confirmed that Rob McKenzie's
right.
gone by the club, but I think the Telegraph said that.
Okay, and supposedly Rob McKenzie's going to Derby, is that right?
I haven't heard that.
That's a rumour that I've heard today. I'm not. It doesn't seem to add up, but it's ridiculous enough to be true. That's the lines that I'm thinking on. And Paul Mitchell is supposedly going to Leicester, isn't he?
Well, apparently. I think that might be people putting two and two together, to be honest. Because Leicester,
but what's the two from Leicester? You know what I mean?
Well, Leicester lost that guy, someone Walsh. A few months ago, so that's why I think it's two and two. I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck around for a bit longer. They've said there'll be a mutually agreed decision when he leaves. And, well, wouldn't put it past Lee to keep on going when he needs to the end of his contract, mm-hmm. which I think is November 2017. That might be a bit extreme, but... I think it's one of those... My take on it is he's probably fallen out of Levy, but we don't know. Pochettino's doing a press conference tomorrow, which is Thursday. I expect to be asked.
Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there, fever permitting. I suspect he'll be asked about it and we'll bring a bit more then.
He's not going to say a word, is he? He's not. He's a bit. He's kind of. He keeps his cards close to his chest anyway, but I can't imagine him. He doesn't say a lot about the playing side of things, let alone the business side of behind the scenes. And I know this is very much a mix of the two, but. He's not likely to say a lot, but
the club's announced that they put comments from Levy and from Mitchell on the website and Twitter last night. So it's not the kind of issue that Pochettino can say, I'm not commenting on. now that the club's come out and said it, I think he's got to give a view,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other. It might not be a very interesting view, but he'll say something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it will be referenced in some way, but I can't imagine it being, I work on the training grounds. Everything else that happens outside is what happens outside, and everyone goes away very frustrated again.
Yeah, possibly.
What do you guys think? Are you?
It's either a massive disaster in the beginning of the end, or
or
it doesn't mean anything.
It is weird, isn't it?
I think it's one or the other. Is it? It's either the Cortese effect that Pochettino had at Southampton when he went. That was it for Pochettino. He decided that he needed to move on. And if it is sort of the straw that breaks the camel's back for Pochettino and he decides that he no longer can work underneath these conditions.
He's hardly had many straws.
But he's his guy, isn't he? He wanted Mitchell here. We went all out to get Mitchell. If Levy has been difficult, I'm not saying that he has.
Yeah,
it's all conjecture.
Don't forget, he came here without Mitch. He came to Spurs without Mitchell.
No, he did. Yeah, I know that. But then we went and got Mitchell.
And it to be fair, I'm not in full agreement with you there, Jim. But we did go all out for him, and half of the reason was because he'd worked with Pochettino
exactly
at Southampton. So it does seem a bit strange because you think that he's Levy's ideal man.
Yeah, like I say, it's all conjecture. But if that was to be the case, and it was something that was going to affect Pochettino's work at Tottenham, then Pochettino is a very principled guy. He could just walk away.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could be the fact equally that Pochettino is now the manager. He's no longer the coach, and because of that, Mitchell's role has diminished and he's not getting the job satisfaction that he once had.
Do you think that he's a broader role for Pochettino now, isn't it? So do you think that's had any effect on what happens in the wider,
I think there's a case for that. I think there's a danger that we're all really over-egging its importance. We've signed great players in the past. We're going to sign them with or without Paul Mitchell. So I think people perhaps, because it's been such a peaceful period for the club, and kind of this slight kind of hiccup, as you like, is, we've almost become used to it being such a serene situation that now, one little thing goes wrong, and oh my God, we're back to square one. And I think people are overreacting personally. And we're going to have a system in place, a scouting system in place, and it will be business as usual.
But none of us really know how important Mitchell is, do we? We don't know what he does.
Of course, but we've also, like I said, it's not like he's the be all and end all. It's not like he's the only person in the world that can do this job.
No, of course not. But for me, the most important person in the club is Pochettino, and we should be doing everything to make him happy and to keep him happy.
We don't know that Mitchell hasn't fallen out of Pochettino.
No. I have said it's all conjecture.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Well, we don't. Yeah, until we've got the press conference tomorrow from Pochettino, we're not likely to find out any more. Anyway, so yeah, we can probably. It was nice to spend a little bit of time breaking news on the Tottenham way for, well, sort of breaking news in the last 24 hours.
Kind of jingle or something.
It's like a little news alert.
A yellow ticker, but
yeah,
audio
doesn't work on audio, does
no.
it? Really?
No.
Imagine it.
Okay, so Dan, you said that you're literally just back in Australia, what, a day ago?
On Monday.
So you were there part business, part leisure, is that right?
Yeah, so I went for the International Champions Cup, was in Melbourne for a week, and then I went to Sydney for a week. My brother was in Sydney, so yeah, hung around there for a bit, had a nice holiday.
How was the experience of a pre-season with Tottenham on the other side of the
world? Excuse me?
Yeah, apart from the cold.
Yeah, it was, it was a great experience overall. Actually,
this is great.
See, I've got,
this is
yeah.
great podcast.
You see, I forgot to take my vitamins in Sydney, and I've overdone it. But when I landed in Melbourne after whatever 24-hour flight, first thing I did was went on Twitter and I saw the squad that Tottenham were taking because they were flying the day after me. And my first thought was that it was a bit of a shit show, that leaving all the Euro players at home just reeked poor planning, and that it was going to be end up being a really disruptive tour and a negative part, have a negative impact on the start of our season. I think all those points are probably still valid, but having been there, been in Melbourne for a week and had really good access to the players and Pochettino, and we've seen firsthand some of the stuff the club are doing out there, spoken to a lot of the Australian fans and a lot of the non-Australian fans who come to the games, I ended up coming away from the tour with a really positive impression of it and I'm really enjoying it. So I don't know whether I'm kind of, my view of it was almost distorted because I was there and amongst it, and maybe I would have had almost a clearer view from afar, but in the end I ended up viewing it as a positive experience. It was initially I was thinking it was not.
You wrote an article about how obviously when you were clearly in the negative mind space still, about how that we travels was it twice as many miles in pre-season as anyone else, including the trip to Norway?
22,000 miles. The next nearest team was Chelsea, was 16,000.
Yeah,
so it was a lot more. But that, I mean, the Norway trip didn't have much. It was all Australia and back.
Do you, you changed your mind on that, the people that are actually out there and watching the games, and did you get a lot of opportunity to speak to Spurs fans, Aussie Spurs fans?
Yeah, I spoke to a lot of Aussie Spurs fans.
What do they feel about it? I mean, it's a good opportunity, obviously, for them to see. Are they aware that we're sending the kids, and what they're seeing is an uncompetitive, you know, Spurs almost mix of reserve and youth sides? They're never going to see the heroes. I know Kane went to Malaysia and stuff last year, like the full team in Sydney last year.
The funny thing was, I went down before both games with a microphone for ESPN, and they asked me to interview Spurs fans. And for the first game, I think we had that young guy, I forgot his name now, playing left back.
Will Miller.
And we had a few other guys on the bench and in the team. And I went down with the team sheet and just asked a load of Spurs fans who the players were. I thought it would be quite good TV because they wouldn't know, and they didn't know, but to a man, none of them cared at all. They were all really enthusiastic, uncynical, and happy just to be watching Tottenham. I mean, not a single one of them I spoke to cared that none of the star players.
Imagine being happy watching Tottenham.
What an awful existence.
Actually,
I get it.
And actually, they were just they were looking at it in a positive way. They were happy to see the young players, to see what the kids were like.
Mm. Isn't there a real difference to how a League Cup game was to us? Maybe not so much now, but 5 years ago, we used to just put the kids out. And maybe people wouldn't enjoy it necessarily, but it's the same sort of principle, isn't it? Of just going along, not really any... You have no idea of what these players are like. So... I don't know. I think it's a cynical view of it. I mean, what do you guys think? Are you in any way pissed off that we've travelled halfway around the world pre-season? It doesn't feel like the same as last season, for instance, where we finished the game at Everton. At the beginning of last season, where we finished the game against Everton, and then we
played a game at Bayern Munich or something, didn't we?
We flew to Malaysia and had that. Then they had the holiday.
We had the Audi Cup or something.
A week before.
Two games in 2 days.
Yeah.
48 hours before Man U.
Yeah, 49. Yeah. We trained on Thursday in Munich still. And we were
the because the flight was Saturday,
weren't we? Yeah. So, is it a necessary evil, basically, is what we're asking? Because it's just how football is now, isn't it? Every club has done tens of thousands of miles.
Exactly. I think that's the point. You know say 16,000 was Chelsea. When you're travelling 16,000 miles, it's like 8,000. You're going that far anyway. You're going to be jet lagged. But what's the difference? An extra 4 hours on a plane? I just don't. You know, it is part and parcel of the modern game, if you like. And I think all the big clubs do it. They're all in the same boat. It's not just us. It's not just the English teams. It's all the teams in on the continent.
We're probably in a position to get more out of it than other clubs as well, with the youngsters that we've got and the manager that we've got that's prepared to give youngsters a chance. It's not just a token appearance and a friendly anymore. It's for someone like this, for instance, I actually don't know if you played, but Walker Peters, someone like that, who is tipped to be, or Edwards, say, got minutes and is tipped to make a breakthrough of sorts next season. It is a chance, you know, you're not just here to put a, you know, a first team number on your back and stuff. This is a chance to show us why you should be in and around the squad in the first team next season. A lot of games next season, you know, FA Cup and League Cup and stuff. Could make a bit of a name for himself in those. So maybe there's more to it than we're maybe giving it credit for, or some people giving it credit for, I don't know.
Yeah, especially with the Champions League, where we're going to be, you know, having to field a stronger first 11 in Europe than we would in the Europa League. And so we'll look at the cup games, especially the early rounds, to use, I guess, more of these youth players. So you might be on something for once.
I know. Stopped clock and all that. Jim, just quickly, how do you feel about it?
It's a necessary evil, isn't it, of the modern game. And when you look at it, 70% of the team that's going to start on Saturday didn't play or didn't travel, so don't care, mate.
All of their bloody holidays was after Euros, weren't they?
But yeah, that was part of the problem.
Oh, sorry.
That we split the squad.
Yeah.
Why was that a problem?
Well, it was obviously a problem.
If the players that were in the friendlies weren't playing games when the other guys were.
Because Pochettino and his whole coaching staff were in Australia, and nine of his best 11
were they on holiday in London.
No, they were training in London. They were training in Enfield.
Okay.
So most of the first team were together.
I completely agree that they shouldn't have made the trip. And actually, the only Euro player who did make the trip was Villa. He didn't play a minute in Australia because he had a groin strain. So that just goes to show that had Pochettino taken all the other guys, he might have ended up with four or five niggling injuries.
Yeah, fair.
So it was definitely the right call not to take them, but splitting the squad was not ideal. And I think Pochettino knows that. He wasn't something he would have wanted to do, but he's a practical person, and I think he recognises that the club has to do this, especially in the current climate and the stadium, etc. We've got to be doing things like this.
We didn't sell out a stadium there, did we?
No, I mean, it was, they got that wrong, I think. It was a 100,000 seater stadium, the MTG. It's an unbelievable stadium. First of all, it's a cricket pitch and an AFL pitch, and the pitch is massive. So the football pitch kind of looks like a tiny.
So it's a bit like West Ham. Watching West Ham away.
Yeah. And we got 30,000 for the Juve game and 40,000 for Atletico game, so it was more than half empty.
Mostly Spurs fans, would you say? Or
there are a lot of Italians in Melbourne, so there are a lot of Juventus fans.
Christian Vieri was born in Australia.
Sorry,
I may just kick the mics down.
Sorry, that's my fault. talking of sound problems. Just quickly on Vimmer as well, or rather, sort of an offshoot of Vimmer. Cameron Carter-Vickers played both games. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did he? I know he had a really shaky start to the Juventus game because he. I don't know what he did, especially. I didn't actually manage to see either of the games, but
yeah.
Is he fourth choice centre back?
Going
into the new season,
I think Pochettino would sooner play Dyer and or Wanyama before playing Carter-Vickers.
He said that, didn't he? We'll come on to that. We definitely will come on to that. It's a shame. I'm really excited by Carter-Vickers more than anyone else.
More than Marcus Edwards.
I'm not convinced.
I know Marcus Edwards is a massive talent, and I have seen some highlights of what he did in the pre-season games as well. There's something about Carter-Vickers that just seems to be sort of that maturity beyond his years. And I think it's maybe because he was playing for the under-23s, the USA under-23s when he was about nine, or something stupid like that. But you had a sit-down with Poch as well, didn't you? Which was written up for ESPN, is that right?
Yeah, I pinned it to my timeline. Haven't read it.
Do have a look. Dan_KP.
Correct?
Yes.
I thought you changed it to @DanKillyP.
I didn't. That was that's a rumour.
Yeah. A vicious rumour.
Edit that out.
tell us more. Like, what's he like? Because he seems like a nice, warm, engaging man. Did you sit down and have a coffee?
Had a He had an espresso. I had a black coffee.
Was it just him, or was it with his...
It was Little Willow. It was myself, two other journalists.
what's his name? Jesus.
Jesus and the Spurs press officer.
Okay.
So there are a few of us. He is... what can I say? Yeah, he is a really warm, engaging bloke. And he... Yeah, he's sort of very open.
Did you get a cuddle?
Yeah,
no, I was being professional.
Did you wear a tie?
Did you say you didn't actually bring enough smart stuff, so I turned up looking a bit scruffy.
One of those hats with corks coming off. Did you
have a wax
coat? I turned up in trainers.
Did you say you were a Spurs fan, or was it not really come up?
No, because I have to sort of see him every week at the press meetings and stuff, so
yeah,
I maintain a level of professionalism. But it was in press conferences when he's got a camera on him, he tends to not give a lot away, and I can understand that. And he's quite cagey, and I can completely understand, because he doesn't want to get caught out on camera, and particularly with English not being fluent yet. He's reluctant to sort of open up, but in person he's a lot more willing to just talk and say what he thinks, and I think that comes across in the copy. He was a lot more willing to talk about kind of how he viewed England, the Argentina job, the end of the last season, and you could really tell that he was not happy about the way the season ended. He was still visibly pissed off about the Newcastle game.
That was brilliant, by the way. That is one of the best quotes of the summer.
Which one?
The one where he wishing the players good luck, but he wanted to kill them.
Yeah. I like it, because there's still that element of,
and it ruined his holiday
about
as well.
And it's, can you imagine being Mrs. Potch
in Barbados, just hating it.
Although he has,
but it's like, you know, when something really crap happens to you, and a few months later, you sort of tell it as a funny story, but it's still something really crap that happened to you. That was, he was kind of smiling, but you could tell
he hated
really hurt.
One thing's for sure, he was being comfort eating. He's gone podgy potch again, hasn't he? Shame.
I think he had just been lying on the beach in the Bahamas or something. So fair.
Yeah,
I understand it.
Yeah, that's fair. You spoke to Lamella, is that right?
Yeah, I spoke to a few of the players, Lamella being one. His English is actually really good.
Yeah, that's what I was quite interested in as well.
Yeah.
He seems like quite a shy... Whenever he speaks on camera, which is very, very little, and it's the real stock phrases, but after a win, it's, we are very happy, I have scored, we've got 3 points.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what they learn as they land at the airport if they've signed for an English club. But
yeah.
He seems like quite a determined man, and it comes across in the way that he plays, but it's nice to hear him kind of vocalise that sort of thing now as well.
Yeah, I think the same is true of Lamella as Pochettino. I think he's a bit reluctant to speak on camera in English because it's not that strong, he doesn't want to get caught out. But off camera, he's got decent English, and he opened up a bit more. I think that was one of the things that was nice about Melbourne, and why I probably came away with a pretty positive view of it, is because everyone was a lot more relaxed. The players, the manager, the people who work in the club that I deal with, everyone was a lot more relaxed than during the season. Lamella seems like a really nice, quiet, kind of confident, quietly determined bloke, but like a nice man. And I feel like he's just, when he's on the pitch, he's just a bastard.
But you see his determination from, was it the Danny Rose quotes last year when Danny Rose was still talking about getting top four, and Lamella just said to him, "My friend, we can win the league."
Yeah, another good quote.
It has to carry on, doesn't it? That feeling has to. It can't be a case of last season being in now or never, because I feel like for Leicester players, that sort of conversation could have been part of the everyday, you know, if we've got to win this because we won't ever get a better chance. But I really hope that we carry on that feeling. I hope we can take that pissed off feeling as well. Basically, the last 10 minutes of the Chelsea game, a controlled version of that over 38 games would be really nice next season.
Welcome back to part two of the Tom and Wade podcast, season two, episode one. It's weird to be season two.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kieran.
Yeah, you sprung that one on us, mate.
Yeah, we debated whether to do editing before the break, and we decided not to, so we're going to do it now. So we'll start with a question from Jack at DBasin92. How badly will players be affected mentally by the end of last season? It's a good question, because there's going to be some residual. We've all discussed about how Poch has got this kind of, you know, this anger about it, and the quotes that were in Dan's piece about him, you know, taking it away with him on holiday, and it still being part of the feeling when he was talking to the players. Is it? Surely that's going to be fuel for next season, isn't it? Going to be the kind of pin it to the dressing wall attitude.
Hope not.
No.
No. Start again. You know, obviously you're training, you're learning. I think if you've got residual anger left over from last season, that's not.
Not necessarily anger, but certainly you can be angry about how it ended last season and not approach it in the same way as we did the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the Chelsea game. Because, you know, the polar opposite of that was the Newcastle game, where we just meekly rolled over and gave absolutely nothing apart from a 5-10 minute period in that game, you know?
I understand, but I think kind of what I've gathered from Poch's philosophy is he's very much a warm game at a time kind of guy, isn't he? And I think if you've got, I don't buy into this pin it to the dressing room kind of war philosophy. I think new season, new start, there's going to be a few new players. Everton are a new entity in themselves, with a new manager, a few new players. I think we've just got to go and carry on all the good things we were doing last year, but hopefully take it up a notch. I wouldn't want us to be kind of smarting over what happened last season, personally.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Ollie, more or less. But I think what Pochettino has done really well since he's been at the club is take a negative, like a defeat, and use it to inspire the players and use it to have them push on and make sure they learn from it. So you can see last season, up until the last few weeks, whenever Spurs lost, they tended to go win 4 or 5 in a row.
Yeah, we didn't lose 2 on the trot until the last 2
yeah,
games of the
season.
Yeah,
so I think Ollie's right in saying that it should be a clean slate. We shouldn't be going into the season with a hangover from last year. But having said that, there's no point in pretending it didn't happen.
Mm.
Look how you finished last season. Now learn from that, kick on, make sure it doesn't happen.
Also,
again.
How we started last season. I think that's a key thing as well. We didn't win until Sunderland, which was in late September.
Ryan Mason.
And that
heroics.
Was a real struggle
as
well. We certainly weren't rolling Sunderland over at that time. So, you know, what lessons do we need to learn from last season? Is it just purely how we started and ended the season?
Well, we need to start well. We never do, so...
Yeah,
it's just I can't remember us winning on the first game of the season, or at least getting fully up to speed until October. We really need to, if we want to challenge for the title again, we have to have title winning form all the way through the season, not just for the middle half of the season.
I think kind of not wanting to kind of jump ahead too far, but obviously we have. Because of the stadium situation, we finish on a long run of away games, and that, you know, so as a result, you're going to have more bunched home games together. I think, you know, at the start of the season, they're probably going to be more spread out, but we should take advantage of the fact that the home games are going to be nearer the start of the season and you know, capitalise on that, because, you know, come the end of the season, you've got 3 away games. Or
is that right?
Yeah, we've got. I think we finish on 3 away games.
I didn't realise that.
I haven't seen. I know we definitely end on 2 or
at least 2,
yeah.
Isn't it? But I think there was. I think it may be 3.
I think we asked for 3 and they said no.
Yeah,
I think maybe I was getting it wrong.
Because United,
we
got
is
United.
Last, yeah,
and
the last time,
and
game,
the
which is
well,
crazy. So kind of quickly that's come around.
But I mean, like you said, Jim. You know, starting well is something that's kind of eluded us for years. And
do you feel like this season is a really good opportunity more than other seasons? Because I think we did this at the beginning of the last season, back when we first started the pod. We were talking about the transfer window
been so key, even after about four games of the season. And this season, we've signed, well, the two biggest players that we've got in Wanyama and Jansen, two big holes in the squad last season. Probably two of the biggest holes that we could point to last season of why we struggled, say. You know, Dyer played a lot of games in defensive midfield. There was nobody that could do his role as well as him. And Kane had absolutely no backup, so that when he did drop out, and I know he didn't miss a Premier League game, am I right? But
you are right.
He had nothing in, there was nothing in reserve, and he certainly needs the odd night off here and there if we can get away with it. So all our business really has been done early, isn't it? And that's such a key thing for a successful team, is to just, all right, if there's one or two additions to add after the season started and before the transfer window ends, then great. But we've really plugged some holes, haven't we? So, I suppose the question in terms of the Everton game, do you foresee either Wanyama or Jansen getting some minutes in that game because they're such prominent squad players now? Or is it, you know, phasing in and we still might...
I know we disagreed about this off air, but I think Wanyama might start. I know some people have been, I don't know, which of you...
I think Mason's going to start.
That was you, yeah, Mason's going
to start. I don't necessarily want this to happen, but I do think that he's going to look at Everton and see, and with no real reason to play two defensive midfielders in that.
They are away from home, and you know, I think the first and foremost thing, we mustn't go there and lose.
Mm.
We'll get a point at least, you know, get going, get something on the board. I think that really did kind of hang over us for a bit last year, like just getting off the mark properly. And I think, you know, as the game layers on, it will open up a bit. We don't know what to expect from Everton. I think that's a big problem, is, you know, they've got a new manager. I know they've lost a few players, like John Stones.
Lukaku is as good as God, apparently.
Yeah,
he is.
He's never done anything against us.
Who, Lukaku? Yeah.
Oh, hat trick.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's the sort of player that could, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's arguably their best player.
He's so inconsistent, and he's either Dawson's had him in his pocket or the Tomlin's had him in his pocket.
Yeah, Tomlin's not going to be playing, though, is he?
Yeah, I know, but Toby knows him.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah. I just think for the midfield...
Nailed on hat-trick now. No.
Yeah, it really is. And then Ashley Williams fourth, just in the 90th minute.
4-0.
I've got a feeling that Mason's going to start, because I think that Poch doesn't buy in... I know Mason was poor at the end of last season, but I don't think he buys into the whole thing of him being his liability. He clearly trusts him. And I just think that with Dembele out, it's not like for like. It's not perfect, but I do feel like it might happen.
I can definitely see it happen. And Mason is by no means a terrible player. I think he's been best when he's on the front foot going forward. I think when we kind of saw him at Southampton at home last season, where he looked really kind of shell-shocked by the situation and wasn't playing as well as he could and put in some pretty loose passes.
I think we might see... Sorry to cut the question. I think we might see Carroll ahead of Mason.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I thought I was being a bit balls out with Mason. I really can't see Carroll getting
I think Poch seems to quite like him, and Carroll seems to be ahead of Mason.
Well, he started at Goodison last season, didn't he? I know it's got no...
And I thought he played quite well. He got pelters on Twitter, but I thought he played quite well. Because we hammered them. Mm-hmm. I know it finished 1-1, but we absolutely...
Well, he did all right when we were on top. As soon as they came at us, he emptied himself. And
sorry?
And he really wasn't all that, I didn't think.
Yeah, as no one is when they empty themselves. Dan, Ronald, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, go on.
Ask
me
what I thought was going to
play. We don't care. I think
Wanyama.
With Dyer.
Yeah.
And Ali at the tip with...
Well, that's a good point.
Lamella, Eric.
He might play Ali there.
Really?
So who plays in the 10? Lamella with...
Wanyama. I think he'll play Wanyama. Because he was really... I think Pochettino actually tends to play good players. The best players.
I suppose it's not the worst idea.
It's not the worst idea to have Wanyama on,
and then if we do need to bring someone like Mason on to go less defensive,
if necessary, yeah. I guess.
Do you, think we'll see Edwards anywhere near the squad?
Not necessarily, no. Soon.
I really want to see
him. I mean, Ali made his debut at United last season, and none of us saw that coming. Okay, we lost the game, but he came on and...
Good finish by Walker, wasn't it?
Yeah, that seems like a world ago, doesn't it? Crazy.
Cost us
what I mean is, it's not...
Yeah, it's not unforeseeable, definitely.
Ali was 19 coach. And had like 50-odd Football League appearances at 17 and never played a senior game.
I think Poch has got a situation.
Why have you got to ruin everything, though?
Just being realistic.
So, a bit of atmosphere here in some way. But so, Ronald Koeman is new Southampton. New Everton manager. He got the better of us last season. At the end of last season with Southampton, admittedly, we were a bit crestfallen at the time after drawing with West Brom and Chelsea. Do you see? And I think he's a great manager. And I thought if anything awful happened with Poch and it all went downhill, Koeman's my go-to person, along with a guy. Tunkel, yeah. He'd be my shout, I think. But do you think he's going to have enough time to work, sort of work with the squad? Or it's hard to tell. But like, would you rather play him now? You know, brand new manager. Stones has gone. Lukaku, nobody really knows what's going on.
There's no Jagielka. There's no Besic. He's an absolute monster in midfield. And he was brilliant against us last year. Lukaku, without them particularly care for him, is seemingly off. I think it's a good time to play him, but by the same token, how fit are our players?
Yeah, it's true. So we've had the game in Norway. It was pretty much good as first team as we're likely to see, wasn't it, in pre-season?
It's the one in pre-season.
We were very good. I mean, bad as into well, we were very... good. I think you can read too much into pre-season
of games. Course, yeah, last time we battered an Italian team in pre-season we got 2 points from 8 games, so yeah, of course I'm not championing that for anything, but it was a good performance. Can't deny the right players scored. Yatsi scored, Lamela scored, Ali scored, Kane scored, so the right players are getting in the right areas, if you like. So I don't know, I'm weirdly optimistic for that Everton game.
It's not like when a new manager takes over mid-season after someone's been saying, you get that kind of Cinderella game, don't you?
I've never heard it called that.
But you often they get the lift and players trying to prove themselves that they deserve a place in the squad, etc. So I guess it's a bit of an unknown. We seem to get that a lot.
Then we have Villa, we had Sunderland as well.
We do. Right, new managers.
He's odd.
Cut the teeth against us, isn't
he? Yeah, definitely. Newcastle as well at home was... No, quite wrong. Ignore me. Good stuff. Great content, guys. And just quickly, there's a chance that Bolasie could be signed before.
Oh, he's so overrated. He is rubbish.
He will do well against us, as is his wont.
Not if he's up against Danny Rose, he won't.
Fair. Yeah, it's a fair point. I forgot about Danny Rose. I can't wait for this. It's going to be so good. Forgot about Danny Rose.
Danny, future captain. Who's going to be our next captain, by the way? Eric Dier or Danny Rose?
Yeah, I think it will be Dier. I don't think Rose actually cares for it. I think he cares. I don't think he's got any interest in it.
Didn't he do it last season?
And he was in Europa League, and he was very honoured, he said.
Yeah, but then he's not going to come out and say, this is
a great angry man and a great angry
man. But I'd like to keep him angry in the pocket.
Yeah, I don't want him being responsible.
Yeah, Dyer's
should
really
be the
obvious
England captain as well.
Yeah,
in my opinion. Sorry for that aside.
That's all right. It's all right. Any chance
to talk about
it? Yeah, definitely. And how do we feel about the new haircut?
It's amazing.
He loves it because he has it.
You do have it, yeah. It's got less Scott Parker than more.
I mean, his is like Aaron Carter style.
He has got 90s.
Yeah, I was going to say Nick.
I'd buy it. Is it? I don't know which one.
No, Nick's his older brother. I'm admitting to that.
I'd buy the album.
We're not doing this podcast. Right, let's move on. So we don't know. Prediction. I actually think we're going to win 1-0. And I don't know what to base that on. But I just think that there's not been... From last season, it was obviously a great season. And we had a really good team. And all of that team is still there. Plus a couple of really good additions. So...
I think we're going to win.
I think we're going to win.
2-0.
2-0. 2-0, yeah.
Oof. All right, fair enough. Jim?
Draw.
Okay, not a bad start. Take that. Let's do some... Actually, no, before we do some predictions, let's talk about the Wembley situation, because was it last week when the tickets went on sale for members?
That was fun, right? Wasn't it, that day?
Yeah, really.
I did a lot of work that day.
Sorry, listening employer. It was a trying day for a lot of people, and a lot of people made their feelings known to probably the wrong people, but it was a frustrating day. Mm. We've got, 80,000 of the 90,000 seats to fill, and the season tickets took 20,000 of those, so there was a big scramble, but a lot of people
is that the case? I thought
I might be really wrong.
I thought that there were, because of the issues with the site, they only actually sold 40,000 on the day.
I don't think that's because of issues. I think they've held back some tickets for people that want to get them on general sale, because there is scope for that.
Then everyone wants to buy the three games.
Oh, right.
But I think we should definitely just give a shout out to the fact that the way that they've tiered this pricing structure.
80 quid, I
80 quid for 80 three quid. Games. Yeah, that at Wembley, in the Champions League, the top tier of European football, to watch your team... I think that's incredible.
It's a shame it's so far away.
What, Wembley? But it could have been worse. It could have been far away and £200 to go and watch free games.
I was joking. I was making a reference.
I don't do jokes.
I was making a reference to people who are complaining that the club have priced three Champions League games at 80 quid when they could easily charge 60, 70 quid per ticket.
When we had the Champions League first time round, it was £45 a ticket, I think. That was part lane lower, so not the most expensive. Yeah. And so it's no bad thing, is it? And I know it's going to be difficult to recreate an atmosphere at Wembley, but if you give everyone an opportunity to do it and not be pissed off at spending amount of money for it, then you give yourself the best chance.
Well, people got a bit more beer money in their pocket.
Well, yeah.
I can't wait for
it. I tell you what, when the Spurs go marching in unison, 80,000 people.
Even
if we lose 3-0, that bit is just going to be magic.
It's going to be.
And the noise. I mean, in our lifetime, has there ever been a collection that many Tottenham fans in one place singing together?
Mm.
And I can't think of it. You know, even if you reach a cup final, would you get 30,000?
Yeah, you get half. Yeah.
Don't even get that.
I think
people maybe aren't grasping the amount of Tottenham fans, just Tottenham fans, are going to be in one place.
Mm. And at the end of the day, season ticket holders and members are going. The thing that's really annoyed me about the reaction to this is saying, like, oh, I'm finding it really hard to get a ticket because so many tourists are going for the games. It's like, it's not, it's just because the website's a bit crap. You're waiting so long. That's all it is. Everyone's going for the best tickets. And if you've got 10,000 people all going for one block, that's got 1,000 people in it, you're going to struggle to get that, and it's just luck of the draw at the end of the day.
I mean, they talked about kind of people drawing comparisons about, oh, when you buy a concert ticket and so on, and it was explained it was a more complicated situation than just buying a season or a standard ticket, because you're buying blocks, multiple tickets with your membership,
with your friends,
and you're buying assigned seats
and all the verifications that go with it. It could have been done better. I don't think anyone's going to dispute that, and hopefully lessons will be learned, but I mean, for the 4 hours that I spent trying to get a ticket,
that's not that long compared to
I know there were some horror stories, and it felt quite long at the time, but it's a bloody great deal.
Yeah, it's an incredible deal. What's the most expensive? £150?
Yeah, and that's...
So 50 quid a ticket.
And that's the club Wembley seats as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows who we're going to get?
Who do you want to get?
I think I said this on the way in. I'd really like an identical situation to what we got last time, but different teams. So, huge ex or current European champion, beatable but big, good team.
Munich would be a good away day, wouldn't it?
I love
that stadium, the Allianz
Arena.
I think I want Barcelona.
Of course you want Barcelona. Yeah, everyone wants Barcelona.
Because I really do think that we could do it.
But Steins.
Yeah, Steins. Sorry, yeah. As in what you get here.
I know what Steins.
Well, I thought we were talking about players.
Mark Steen.
Mark Steen.
Yeah.
He scored against Scotland, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he did.
It was Spurs in the 90s. And
he was Chelsea. Chelsea's gone.
Yeah, of course. Right, okay. So, yeah, I thought we definitely needed to give a shout-out to that. Let's do some predictions. David at Flaming Mo, what represents a successful season this season? Interesting one, because last season was... It was good, but at the end of the day, Leicester City won a title last season, and it can't be denied that there was a lack of quality in the league last season. But we were still the best team. We might have finished third, but we were better than Arsenal, and we were better to watch than Leicester. Just didn't come out of it with the right results. I know it's... I know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I hate Leicester. Fuck them.
Good analysis. No, I'm with you as well. Yeah.
X-rated.
Yeah. But it's going to be different, isn't it? You know, United with Mourinho is such a different beast now than United under Van Gaal. Pep at City, you know, it's a Chelsea with an actual manager that gives a shit. It's different, isn't it? And this is going to be difficult. So,
in a way, it plays into our hands because, like last season, we went under the radar for a large part, and then people started realising, oh, we're quite good. And I think had these, you know, boy band clubs not gone down the route they had, that we, you know, we would have been more prominent in people's thinking about Spurs, you know, they could be a real threat this season. Thank God that someone like Mourinho and Pep Guardiola come along to fill the Sky Sports, you know, pages.
Don't forget Klopp still around.
Oh, gosh, yeah, who could forget?
Fed up, you know, of Klopp.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing glasses, fuck off. and I just think it suits us perfectly well that we can just
similar haircut.
Oof, I've got to be careful.
Fair.
But it suits us very well that we can just kind of go about it and then we aren't in people's thinking.
No one's talking about us.
That suits us down to the ground. And I think we've got... I don't think we're going to get top three again. I think that's going to be a real push. But I think top four is... Mm. And I think it's really tight.
I think top four is the club's target as well.
Yeah. But it always is. And it is funny how... Two seasons ago, we came sixth and were awful. We all said I'd take sixth and trophy, and then we came fifth and didn't really do anything much. And then the season after, like last season, we were really good, and there was a genuine chance at the title. And it hasn't skewed things quite as much as I thought it would, because you know when we got top four in when Redknapp's first season, there was a sense of entitlement after that, and we had a really good season next season. We played Champions League, got to quarterfinals. We, you know, we had some good fun there, but we came fifth. Season after, we steamrolled stuff, and we came fourth, but got knocked out because of the Chelsea thing. But since then, we've definitely had a sense of entitlement, which is why the ABB Sherwood year was treated so, well, rightfully in some regards, but so it was shambolic. So, but there was a bit more realism with us, and I think that's contributed to the love that is for this team, because we didn't really expect a lot of it, but they really pulled out everything to make sure that this is a good team to watch and support and get behind. So
I think par for this team is top six.
Yeah, I think
that's
so
par
as well.
But successful season would be Champions League, great season would be top six and a trophy.
I think that's underselling it a bit. Because there's only six teams that can win the title, right?
We're totally ruling this.
We're ruling it on this. Come on.
Yeah.
That's what we all did last season.
So you're putting us bottom of all those six.
I'm saying that's par. That's what you would expect.
Yeah, we should be finishing any lower.
I didn't say
it was similar expectations. The great thing about last season was Pochettino made us, and Ranieri as well, even more so, in fact. Temporarily, you all from time to time made us forget that there is this pecking order and hierarchy in football that's largely based on wealth, decided by finance. And I think this summer has been quite a brutal reminder of that, what Manchester City and Chelsea and Man United have done. So I think, whereas at the end of last season, all the fans and everyone in the club have probably been thinking, we came third, we should have come second at the very least. Possibly should have won the title, let's aim to finish higher. I think that might have been, as defeatist as it sounds, I think it might have been recalibrated a bit over the summer to the club saying, well, let's try and maintain Champions League football, like Wenger did when he was building the stadium. We might not be able to win the title, but Wenger did an incredible job. He kept getting them into the top four, and they didn't have the money to spend on their rivals there.
I really want to trade him. I really want to trade him. And it's
well,
so
he wasn't able to deliver that. yeah, just a reminder.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Yeah. I'd forgotten. I thought we were treble last year.
So, I mean, fourth in a trophy would be phenomenal.
It would be the best.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
Yeah. Incredible, really incredible. We need to move on. We've got some predictions, or rather, we've been asked for some predictions. Will at Colwell 94.
Is there something in your beard?
What is it?
Sorry, carry on.
Right. I will be growing a beard this season until we win a game like last season. Those of you who were. Do you want to all do it?
No.
I'll go.
Yeah? Yeah, until we win a game, we won't shave. All right.
Can I do this? Can I tidy up the neck?
No, I wasn't allowed to.
You've done yours recently.
No, I wasn't allowed to last
season.
Last season was getting worrying for a point, and I celebrated Mason's I celebrated that a cup final goal. My face was so itchy. You have no idea.
You looked ridiculous.
Look ridiculous as well. Thank you, Jim. Will at Colwell 94 asked, if you had to make an out-on-a-limb prediction, he's used the example of Ali winning Young Player of the Year last season, what would it be? So we've got the examples of where will we finish. Well, I think we've kind of covered that. Where will everyone else finish with that in mind? I think we should definitely do top scorer. Probably going to be Kane, but do you think he's going to be as prolific as the last two seasons? Is there any reason to believe otherwise?
No.
I mean, there's no reason to doubt it, but in answer to the actual question, honestly, might go out on a limb. Lamella must assist in the league.
Okay, very specific.
Very
in the
specific.
Whole league. Okay,
in the whole league, I think he's going to tear it up. I've got lot of faith in it. I just think this is going to be his year.
ESPN asked us all for our season predictions today. They said do the top four. I didn't have a clue, so I went for Spurs as champions. They said top scorer, didn't really have a clue, so I went for Kane. Player of the year, went for Lamella. So and it was half tongue in cheek. Very Spurs centric. It was half tongue in cheek, but I think he's going to have an absolute storm.
He's potentially a Mahrez. He's got a similar. He can have a similar impact on games, can't he?
He hasn't got the pace of Mahrez, but I think he's got. I think he's got a sharper mind.
I think he's going to have a storming Champions League.
I think Mahrez is going to be.
I think he's going to be brilliant in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think it's his. That's his.
He always raises his game in Europe. He knows how to play European style.
Bonus all over the show. Yeah.
It's certainly where we are. Our style as Tottenham as a club and as Tottenham as a whole, certainly where we do, you see a very noticeable drop off with us in Europe. But I think he's going to be that pacer. If we do get a Barcelona at home, he's going to be the guy that he's not going to be.
Noticeable drop off in the Europa League, I don't think it's fair to say we drop off in Europe.
Well, it's hard to say.
I don't necessarily think that translates to the Champions League. I think it's because players find it hard to motivate themselves for whatever.
I don't think it's just going to be Europe for Lamella, though. I think he's. Last season, he demonstrated he was settled for the first time. He kind of looked like he got used to playing in the league. And, as the season wore on, and he put some really good performances. I mean, the United game where he just.
Yeah,
he just decided to turn that game on his head. Him alone, really. Yeah, I mean, it was a good team performance, but he really turned the screw that time. I think now is the time. It's all set up for him to just to blow the league away.
Yeah,
and I don't see any reason why. I'm just so excited about Lamella this year. I don't know why. I just feel it with waters.
Fair enough, Jim.
Sorry, what was the question?
What do you think will be? Well, we're talking about a bit breakthrough. Let's say real. Who's going to be player of the season? Let's say
player of the season, Lamella. Just to rearrange.
This will go.
Yeah.
I'd say breakthrough.
I'm going to put someone else into the hat.
Marcus Edwards.
Fair. I don't see any reason why not. Except he may not get enough games.
So that's a pretty big reason why.
Yeah,
but
I think by the end of the season, he would have made an impact in the cup competitions, and we will be very excited about him for the following season.
Probably won't be enough to get young Harry Year.
Is that what you asked me?
I don't know. I don't actually know what I asked. Can I just put another player forward for Player of the Year? I have been a little bit critical of him previously. Eriksen.
I thought you were going to say Vertonghen.
Well, I have been critical of him, but I think I quite like him. Yeah, he's all right. I've got no beef with him. I didn't think he was going to come on in the same way as he did last season.
People underestimate just how important Eriksen is to our team.
I
100%
did. I used to think he bottled challenges.
He
does, but it's all relative. Everyone else really goes in for challenges, but he's not that sort of player. But it's not as if he doesn't run and doesn't go in.
He runs
stuff.
More than anyone.
He
else,
does,
which
and
I didn't
and
realize.
I underestimate that. Yeah. And I think that the quality that he gives us in a team. And I used to not like the way that he started on the left to accommodate Dembele, because I didn't like Dembele at the start of last season. But
we've got a track record
with someone
this,
like that's notice I'm not making too many predictions on this one. But you know,
Tom's apologies.
But like Rose bombing up and down that wing, it just makes sense. It does make sense.
I think he
could have, because it's been talked about for years about him being this potentially brilliant player. And then I think when he came to us, he was kind of a 1-in-3 player. Do you see what I mean? Like, he was good, but he'd go missing. And then when he went missing, it was just pointless. Almost pointless having him on, apart from, like, the odd free kick. But that consistency is starting to come. And I think this could be a huge season for Eriksen, especially with Champions League as well.
I think with the Eriksen situation is, we've already kind of come accustomed to him doing some great things already. And I think there is a level of expectancy amongst the fan base that actually he's actually pretty decent, and he gives a lot to the team.
Do you think?
I think he can do more, sure. But in terms, I don't think Lamella's been able to enjoy that sort of, you know, acceptance amongst our fan base that actually he is, you know, he's that level of quality.
I don't think it will never be fully accepted, Lamella, because people are blinded by the price tag and his haircut.
He's got a haircut, so people don't like it because he's got a haircut. People know my feelings on this. I think if you don't.
I don't like his haircut. Don't get me wrong.
I don't like it, but to use it as a reason not to like him,
I like it.
I think it's.
Yeah, I mean that's. Ridiculous.
You just wish you had enough hair to do it.
He's gone there.
Any other predictions?
You'll be there soon, my friend.
Really, really will. It's one. It's actually a really horrible one to finish on. But he's asked flop. Does anyone think that it's going to be a flop? Oh, go on, Jim.
After yesterday's events, and I've mentioned it before, but I've got a horrible nagging Spurs feeling that because of we are Spurs, that the whole team could flop and we could be Pochettino-less. I think that's
what... Heard some grumblings from the round of
bad opinion. Bad
opinion. The week. Yeah.
I don't want it to happen. But I just know how this club works. I've been a fan of it for 30 years. And when we've got a good thing going, it goes wrong. We had Yol and Arnesen together. Arnesen left. That was the beginning of the end for Yol. We had Redknapp. He got offered the England... Well, he wanted the England job. It was all going swimmingly for 2 seasons. And then we fell off a cliff. AVB, it was all going well. Sold Bale. Fell off a cliff. We have these two and a half year cycles of goodness, and then it goes bad.
God, Christ! What to say? This has gone down.
2016-17.
Yeah,
you did say out on a limb.
I didn't say chop off our limbs and bury us in a garden.
It's a horrible feeling that I've got in the back of my head. I just thought I'd share it.
Thanks, Jim. I disagree massively. Apart from the worst opinion in the world,
can I say,
what else?
I don't want that to happen.
No, but you do feel like it's gonna, which is arguably worse.
Sorry, mate.
Should be. Has anyone else got any feelings for flop? I don't think anyone's going to beat that. But
I was going to say Janssen, but
I quite like the look of Janssen. I'm quite excited by him.
I mean, if anyone's going to be a flop. It's him, because we signed two players.
Yeah.
I don't think right now.
Do you think anyone's going to be sort of fall from
the heights of last season?
I think... good question.
I think Ali is going to... He's not going to be bad, but I think he will have all of last season.
We were saying that all last year, weren't we, though?
But I feel like if this is going to happen, it might just be now. And it might just be that, you know, the suspension and the Euros, just a couple of things that put a little bit of doubt into a really young player's... Like, I don't know. It could be complete crap, of course.
It pains me to say, I also think... And I don't want this to happen because I love him. Eric Dier. I do worry that Eric Dier in
midfield.
No.
That's worse than my opinion.
Yeah. I've got no worries.
No way is that worse than yours. Like, I just like a kind of nagging feeling. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm so glad that Wanyama's there. But I also agree on the Ali thing. I think there was a bit of unexpectancy about how good Ali was. And then he's like, oh, actually, he's really, really good.
Mm.
And then it's like, he's either going to like plateau this season or he's just going to keep on going, isn't it? And I think any sort of plateau
would be
regarded as a failure. And the same goes for Dier as well, because I don't think any of us regarded him as good as he was in midfield, as he proved to be.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Right, we'll do some listener questions as well. So we've got Alex Brown, friend of the pod. Alex of Brown, are you concerned about no, in inverted commas, marquee signing? He doesn't think it matters because of our first 11.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I think sensible signings over marquee signings wins every day, and it's a Poch thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice. Yeah, if we were going to sign someone, Lewandowski, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Amanda Bart sort of level signing. Just Van a little Bart. Bit of quality that we can
sometimes
when you get someone like that, it does lift the whole squad and the whole club.
Because he definitely contributed to us getting to the quarter final. And I don't just mean in a purely statistical way. He was a winner and he came in and was just like, well, this is what you've got to expect from the Champions League, from this guy.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, I know he's completely wrong for Pochettino's team, but like the Götze link from a month ago, it was obviously never going to happen. But someone like that who was sort of but affordable and just got that stardust quality, it would be nice. It's not Pochettino's way, but as I said earlier, Pochettino plays good players. He hasn't. If someone like that was available, the right attitude, the right personal profile and footballing profile, and we could get them,
they'd sign for a bigger club.
not a bigger club, a richer club.
On the whole, I don't think it's a problem.
I think
it would be, I don't see it as a bad thing. And, I think on the whole, big signings tend to lift, more likely to lift the squad than disrupt it.
Yeah. On that, I mean, it's a good segue into the next question. Highland Yid at Cali Gym.
Good lad.
Do you agree that qualifying for the Champions League does not attract a better standard of players to the club? It's a loaded, but it's a good question, isn't it? Because...
Well, yeah, because just look at Batshuayi. Is that what he's saying?
He's
gone to Chelsea.
Mm-hmm. Ibrahimovic has gone to United.
Pogba's gone to United.
Yeah, sorry, that was a better example, really, wasn't it?
I think it's an excuse players like to use, to not join a club. They're not in the Champions League,
because it sounds a lot better than
going. They're going to pay me a lot more.
It's all about
the cheese.
But then, I think for a club like Tottenham, it does make a difference. But when you've got as much money as United or City or Chelsea, it doesn't matter one bit. Like for them, they could be in the Champions League, in the Europa League, or not in Europe at all, and they could still sign the same
players.
Look
at the players that have gone to China. If you really think Champions League is that important.
I know he's not the best, but Graziano Pella is in the form of his life, and he had a brilliant Euros, and he's gone to China.
Yeah.
To get paid 280 grand a week.
And you can't... I don't judge anyone for doing that. If you're a footballer and you want to earn your butt.
What about Paulinho? Do you judge him?
I judge him because he's the worst human being that's ever lived.
He's the worst footballer, maybe. Human being, I'd argue.
No. I think he's awful.
He did do history, it's fine.
But for okay, Janssen, for instance, would he have rejected PSG for Tottenham if we weren't in the Champions League? We don't know, obviously, but I think there's a case that while it doesn't matter for those clubs, for Spurs, it does make that little bit of difference, because he rejected West Ham, he rejected PSG and Wolfsburg to sign for Spurs. Now, have we been in the same competition as West Ham? Are they in the Europa League?
Yes.
They're trying to be. West Ham and Tottenham both in the Europa League. He might have just looked at two London clubs. One has a big stadium.
Have you seen that stadium?
Whatever.
It is a nonsense.
Willing
mate.
To pay
it's
ridiculous. Silly
this
money.
I'm still sat in the stadium.
it's a good point.
What's so bad about it? Have you seen the
retractable pitch? The retractable seating.
Is it a shocker?
You talk. I'm going to show him.
Yeah, there's pictures of it, and we can tweet it out later. It is really bad.
It's basically scaffolding.
Really,
that is all. It is scaffolding with a few seats on it, and some guys with a bubble machine.
You know how sort of like cross teams, there's always that bit of like, people are taking a piss out of our stadium, but it's not even built yet. Do you know what I mean? All the things that people said about West Ham Stadium is true. Everyone took the piss about it being, you won't be able to see the game. People are taking pictures of it at the games, and you can't see anything. You actually cannot see anything. It is ridiculous that they've got this stadium.
Look at that.
Danny, this is a live reaction from Dan watching the stuff. It's really, really embarrassing.
What are you doing this thing there?
You don't see anything, Dan. That's what happens.
I mean, that's probably preferable if you're a West Ham fan, like seeing it. And
so that, no, but in all honesty, no, so no one's sitting there.
No, but even in the middle tier, it's quite difficult to see.
I mean, you've still got that gap in between.
They have been so screwed.
It's about 30 foot.
They sold a grand, you can actually see the pitch.
It's really.
The chairman can lie in their pocket.
That is hilarious.
Can you imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like there? It's just going to be weird.
Yeah, just. But I can't wait to go there and roll them over. It's going to happen. Last question. Let's do at To Trunk. Everyone knows To Trunk. This is a nice little question to finish on. Which villainous former Spurs player do you hold a soft spot for and why?
Hossam Ghali.
Oh, why?
Because he gave his all. He gave his teeth to the cause.
No, he just got kicked in the head.
And carried on playing. His teeth came flying out. You can see his teeth come flying out.
Good left back. Good left
everyone
back.
Everyone hates him.
Raging at
Jack will hate that because he absolutely hates Asuakoto.
That's what it's levelled anyway, allegedly.
I remember. I've just remembered. remember why we don't like it. Okay, the player, not the man.
They're all dead. Once you're gone, you're gone.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't want to get consulted about ex players.
I'd say Adebayor.
Oh, bore off. You've shot down my Hossam Ghali and you've chose him.
He was a good player for us.
The mercenary.
Was a good player for us.
Who, Adebayor?
I quite like Hossam Ghali.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't mind Paulinho.
He was awful. Dan.
Dan's really ill.
Dan. The fever's hit Dan.
That half an hour against Stoke was magical.
Yeah,
before Charlie Adams. Charlie Adams did.
No, awful.
Mate.
Really the worst part.
You just said Adebayor.
More or less.
But Adebayor was good for a couple of seasons. It was
for half a season.
But everyone's like, when he tried. All right, he tried and he scored a load of goals for us and we came, fourth place season because of his goals.
Not the way he ended. He was a disgrace to his shirt. He was a disgrace to the club. And
Hossam Ghali threw his shirt away.
He threw it down in frustration at being substituted as a substitute. That game he was terrible. But he gave everything. And he was angry at himself.
And he threw it at Yol.
No, he didn't. He threw it
to Yol. But it's hard to miss Yol.
Fair.
He threw it to
how
the floor.
How dare you, friend of the pod, Martin Yol.
But yeah, no. You're wrong, and me and Ollie and Dan are correct. Move on.
I don't know what he said. That went for Esu Akala.
Stand by it.
Anyway, let's end this before it gets any more problematic. Guys, this has been really good. It's nice to do a pre-season and hopefully half an idea of exactly what we're talking about.
I'm so bloody excited about this.
Yeah.
Maybe that hasn't come across, but I've been weeing a lot. And that's largely due to the
what, just in general?
Just excitement. And
get a catheter, mate.
I think the main thing to get across, we have to enjoy it, don't we? Because last season, we didn't really realise what we had until, you know, it's sort of, after City away, when we won 2-1, suddenly everyone was like, oh, shit, actually, this is incredible. And that was why it was so crushing to have West Brom and Chelsea and Southampton and Newcastle. You know, that end of the season, it was awful, but there's lessons to be learned from last season, and partly from the fans as well. Just enjoy it, because this could be really good fun. You know, Wembley and Champions League, and
it's our last season. It's our last season at the Lane. We've not mentioned that yet.
Yeah.
Last season at the Lane, it's got a big hole in it, and we just got to cherish
every home game.
Cherish the home games.
Yeah,
it's
massive.
Because we've only got 19 of them left.
Last Northern Derby penultimate game.
Two games before the end of the year.
Last game against United. Could be.
I would lose to United and beat Arsenal. Happily.
We'll beat them both.
Yeah.
Oh.
We've won the league by that point. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. We're coasting. We're playing Edwards to get the player of the year. anyway, no, guys, thank you very much. Ollie Lister. Good to see you, mate.
Thank you very much.
Jim, that started right.
Cheers, mate.
We'll have you on again very soon, I'm sure. You're both always free. Dan Kilpatrick, good to see you back and hope you get better soon.
Cheers,
if everyone can tweet Dan_KP with get well soon.
No need.
Well, we'll get a good idea of how many people listen to
this. Is Dan more or less dying than when you went to
the make it.
When you got the spider bite?
The mock spider bite. I didn't make
this
it.
This could be an actual spider bite. I've been in Australia.
Yeah, I know.
And that's when I got ill. So
no. I think we'd know by now, wouldn't we?
You are looking at you.
Pray for Killy P.
Cecil Varane.
Oh, it's been a weird summer, hasn't it? What a weird summer. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. It's been the Tottenham Way. We'll be back on Monday night after the Everton game. Thanks very much. Come on, you Spurs!